Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
We're in a series called Transitions. Everybody say transitions. How to get from here to there. And I hope, for me, this series, this teaching has blessed me personally. And I just feel like it's been a good word for us as a church and kind of the spiritual journey that we're taking. And I've been so excited to be able to study this and to teach this, not just to you, but to learn this myself. If you've been here the last several weeks, you know, we kicked off this series. We talked about the transition between Moses and Joshua. And we said that the main idea was one step at a time. How many of you remember that? One step at a time. You can't take it in one giant leap, but as you make a transition from here to there, it starts with that first step. Remember how we talked about God will meet you. When you take a step, He steps with you. And then if you were here last week, we talked about the transition between Elijah and Elisha. How many of you remember that? Okay, two people remember that. I hope you took some notes and you wrote some things down. Remember, we said history makers are what? Note takers. We talked about how Elisha, the main lesson was no turning back. Remember that? We talked about how he slaughtered the oxen, how he broke up the plow. I wanted to pass out beef jerky to everyone so that when you grilled, you know, this weekend, you would just be reminded that there is no going back to where you used to be. And we said this, you know, you may not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. Many of you have made a decision that old life is gone and your new life is in front of you. That's so important. As you take these steps, sometimes there's a temptation to look back. You know, the devil will call into question and say, you've missed God. You know, you're not really in the will of God. And so it'll cause you to pause. We talked about that last week. Well, this week, I want to talk to you. And this is one of my favorite transitions. We're going to talk about the transition between Saul and David. Saul and David. And if you have your Bibles, look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting with verse 38. 1 Samuel 17, verse 38. The Bible says this, then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on and he strapped the sword over it and he took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. I can't go in these, he protested to Saul. I'm just not used to them. So David took them off again and he picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream, and he put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed with only his shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. I think one of the biggest temptations when you're in transition, as you're taking these steps, and some of you, you've made a decision, hey, I'm not looking back. But the temptation is when you take a step, you look around. And you compare yourself to others. Comparing to others. How many of you have discovered that you can't fight wearing somebody else's armor? Amen. The lesson today, and it's simple to say, but it's hard to live. In fact, somebody asked me the other day, said, Mike, how long does it take you to prepare these messages that you preach? When you do your sermon preparation, how long does it take? Can I tell you how long it took me to prepare for this sermon? My whole life. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, boy, this is going to be good. It took me 39 years. Every single moment, the sum total of my life, to bring me to this moment, this message, I want you to know that what I'm about to teach you today, I didn't have to do a lot of outside research. Come on. Didn't have to go to the internet and look up stuff online and, you know, check out resources and study somebody else's thoughts or commentary. You know what I had to do? All I had to do was look inside my own heart. I'm about to give you something today. Now listen, awareness is half the battle. Have you discovered that? Now, what I'm about to teach you is not something that I've mastered, but it's something that I'm discovering, and I'm desperately trying to get it right, okay? Here's the simple lesson. The one main idea, as you transition from here to there, be yourself. Be yourself. I think comparison is the killer. Have you discovered that? Oh, man, listen. When a preacher preaches his own issues, he never runs out of material. My whole life for 39 years, permission to speak honestly. Everybody say permission granted. If there has been one battle that Mike Heyman has had to fight his entire life, it's this battle of comparing myself to everybody else. Now listen, I know that probably nobody else in here has ever done that. But at the end of the message, when I give the altar call, I want you to know I'm going to be the first down here getting my heart right and getting myself in line. Comparing ourselves to somebody else. You know what? When we do that, you know, this is the great American pastime. It's our favorite indoor sport, isn't it? Comparing ourselves to other people. We do this almost without even thinking. It takes no effort at all. In fact, it kind of starts when we're really, really young. And I was thinking about this week. My son is 5 years old. Do we have any parents who have small kids at the house? Okay, well, Trevor came home from school one afternoon, and all he could talk about was this thing called Skylanders Giants. Skylanders Giants. I still, to this day, don't really know what that is, but he knows all about it because his friends at school were talking about these action figurines. He just has to have a Skylanders Giant. Okay, well, son, you've had a great year. Kindergarten, you've done well. You've worked hard in the classroom. Let's go get you a Skylanders Giant. So we went to the store, got him a little action figurine. I'm going to tell you what, you would have thought he'd won the lottery. He was so happy. His whole world now was perfect. Come on, you remember those days? It's just a little simple thing. I mean, it didn't take much. His world was complete because of the Skylanders Giant. But then he comes home from school the next day, and he's miserable. He's like a different kid. He said, Daddy, Hunter has 24 Skylander Giants, and Carson has 27 Skylanders Giants. I'm like, boy, what happened to yesterday? You see, he was happy with what he had until he went to school the next day, and what did he do? He started to compare himself to somebody. Oh, come on, you're not hearing me this morning. Oh, it opens the door to pain and heartache. You know, what once made him happy no longer made him happy when he looked around and started to compare. How many of you have some kind of social media account? Anybody have a Facebook account? A lot of you do. Some of you are Facebooking right now. Busted. I busted you. Instagram, who Instagrams? I know that's a real growing trend, posting pictures. And I love it. Listen, I'm not trying to knock social media. I have a Facebook account. I love to Instagram. I kind of check those things out. But you know, there's a downside to that too. You know, sometimes it can be so narcissistic. It's like, you know, look at me. Social media can be all about, look at me. Look at where I am. Look at who I'm with. Look at the vacation that I got to take. Look at the food that I just ate. Look at what I just bought. Look at me. And the problem is sometimes I'm so consumed. You know, when you get a day off from work and you're thinking, man, I'm so grateful for a day of rest. But then you go to Instagram and you see, man, somebody is on a cruise. All of a sudden, man, I don't want to be me. I want to be that person. And there's a challenge. The problem is when we're looking at everyone else, we take our eyes off of God. Are you catching this morning? You know, comparison opens the doors to all kinds of craziness. I remember years ago, being on a missions trip to India. And we had the opportunity to take 4 days and do a crusade in one of the communities in northeast India. And crowds came. They filled a soccer stadium. 30,000 people showed up. We were able to lead worship and preach and teach. We saw the supernatural power of God descend on that stadium. I'm telling you, for 4 days, the presence of God just invaded that community and that region. People were healed. I had a man that was crippled and he couldn't walk without a cane. And God touched him. Nobody laid hands on him. I mean, it was just the presence of Jesus. And God restored strength to his legs. He came up on stage and walked across that stage. I still have his cane in my office as a testimony of the power of God to heal him. We were part of, I mean, it was one of the life-changing experiences that I've had in ministry. And I remember, you know, while I was gone, I asked one of my friends to come preach for me when we were doing college ministry here at the church. I said, hey, I'm going to miss a Wednesday night college service. Can you preach while I'm out? He said, of course, I'd love to. So we get off the mission field and we come home and I'm talking to my staff and some of my team. And I said, hey, well, tell me about church. How was Wednesday night service? They said, oh, Pastor, we don't know that guy that you brought in, but let me tell you, he was amazing. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? Really? Tell me about it. Oh, listen. Hey, he is so hilarious. He's so fun. I mean, he reminded us a lot of you. I mean, it's just only better. He's funnier than you. I mean, dude, he preached. I mean, he's just so powerful and all the illustrations that he used and the Spirit of God moved. I'm telling you, he gave an altar call, Pastor. And I mean, there were so many people that came forward. We didn't have room. The altars were packed. We had to take them off into side rooms just to minister. Oh, we love this guy. And I was thinking, I didn't say this, but I thought it, you know, I wanted church to be good, but I didn't want it to be that good. You know, I mean, come on. Wait a second now. Whoa, time out. I started having a conversation with myself. Does anybody talk to themselves? Some of the most intelligent conversations I've ever had are with myself. I remember getting in my car that afternoon, and I was having a problem. I got really insecure, and I said, wait a second. They like him more than they like me. He's a better preacher than I am. Well, they don't respond to my altar calls like that. Nobody says that I'm that funny. Wow, that... What if my job is in jeopardy? All of these thoughts begin. Anybody have a thought that just gets hijacked and it runs way out in left field? Come on, am I the only one? And so God had to slap me in the face. Boom! He said, Mike, you just came off the mission field. You preached to 30,000 people in a soccer stadium. You saw miracles. And here you come home, and the only thing you can think about is how good that guy is and how inadequate you are. He said, Mike, if you're going to make ministry about you, this is going to be very, very difficult. He said, is it about you or is it about my kingdom? How many of you know I had to make peace with God in that moment? There was danger. When I compared myself to him, it opened the door to all kinds of craziness in my life. Turn to your neighbor and say, be yourself. You see, I've discovered that when you compete, you compare. And comparing is such a bondage. Have you discovered that? When you compare yourself to someone else, it puts a weight on you. I'm telling you, I'm preaching out of my own issues because I've spent my entire life trying to measure up to someone else. I got to be as good as that person. And so you know what? We do this in all different kinds of facets. I mean, some of you, you know, as a mom, you compare yourself to other moms. Why can't I be more like her? Some of you businessmen, you compare yourself to those in business. Man, you see the success of their business and something on the inside of you begins to die. Whenever you start comparing yourself to others, you're in a no-win situation. Because you can always find somebody who's worse off than you. Well, and then there's a tendency to become puffed up. A little bit proud. Well, at least I'm not as bad as he is. Come on, you ever thought that? Well, I heard what she did the other day. At least I'm not as. You compare, you can either get puffed up or you can always find somebody who's better than you. Or you can get really discouraged and jealous. Be careful when you compare. Be yourself. and let God be himself to you. I pray, here's what I prayed this week and this weekend, because I just sensed that some of us are under a bondage of trying to be like everyone else. And God's saying, I want to bring freedom in your heart because I created you different. How many of you know you're different in order to make a difference? God made you different. You see, sometimes when I compare myself to others, then there's a pressure I put on me to be like someone else. There's the me I pretend to be. There's the me I'm pressured to be. There's the me I'm expected by others to be. But let me ask you this question. What about the me God created you to be? What about the individual that God made you to be? And sometimes we see this in different ways. If you're single, let me see your hand. How many single people do we have? Okay. When it comes to dating, if he doesn't like you for who you are, then he doesn't deserve to be with you. People who don't value your heart don't deserve access to your heart. Tell him, hey, if you can't accept me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. Come on, am I setting somebody free here today? Be yourself. I mean, it just takes so much work, so much effort trying to be someone else. If they fall in love with the person that you're trying to be, what's going to happen when the real you comes out? Hello. Somebody says, dating brings out the best of you, but marriage brings out the rest of you. Come on, somebody. Some of you got that revelation, didn't you? Whoa. They say that love is blind. But marriage is an eye-opener, isn't it? Be yourself. You know one of the greatest compliments that someone can give you is? You know what? You're the same in private as you are in public. That's one of the best things that anyone could ever say about you. You know what? You act the same way in the privacy of your own home as you do in the public eye. I heard somebody asking my kids the other day after one of the services, hey, is your dad this crazy at the house? They said, yep. Weird. He's strange. I'm different. But I've discovered that being normal is such a bondage, isn't it? Goodness gracious. Here's what I love about this church. When you come in these doors, you can be who God created you to be. You don't have to put on the church face. How many know what I'm talking about? You don't have to play the game. This isn't a charade. This isn't the who's who of the Christian zoo. Come on now. We're all living in the same world. We've got challenges. We've got struggles. We've got issues. And guess what? The issues are on the platform just like they are all the way across the floor and up into the raised seating. We all hurt. We all bleed. We all struggle. We all have different problems that we're sorting through. You can come to Healing Place. This isn't the gathering of the perfect. It's the gathering of the authentic. You know where you're going to find healing and freedom is through authenticity. Being the same in private as you are in public. I love that. I love that. It drives my kids crazy. It does. How many of you as parents, you embarrass your children? You see, I used to be cool. Rachel and I used to be really cool until we started having kids. And then we lost cool points. And my teenagers, and now she's telling me how not cool we really are. I love to sing in the car. How many of you, you're driving down the road and you're singing and it don't matter? Why is it that we'll do that driving down the road? You'll crank that radio up. You'll listen to your song. You know what jam I'm talking about. Your favorite tune comes on and you're belting it out. I mean, it's just you and Jesus and you're letting the whole world know. But then you come to church and it gets quiet. Listen, if you shout at the football game, why don't you shout in the house of God? It's okay. It's okay to, Mike, what will they think? Who cares? What will they do? How will they react? If they found out, what will they say? Let me ask you this, who are they? And why are they controlling your life? You see, when you're in your 20s, you care what everybody thinks, don't you? When you're in your 30s and 40s, you don't care what anybody thinks. And then when you're in your 50s and 60s, you realize ain't nobody been thinking about you at all. Come on, somebody say, be yourself. David puts on this armor and he's thinking, man, I can't go to battle like this. It just isn't me. You see, there's a freedom that you can experience when you truly become who God created you to be. What if David had tried to fight Goliath wearing Saul's armor? It probably wouldn't have worked out too good, would it? And for some of us, that describes our life. We don't like our life. We'd rather be someone else, or we're comparing ourselves to someone else, and we're going to do it like that person, and it's just not working out too well for us, is it? You know what I've discovered? God will not help you be like someone else. God isn't going to say, one day I'll stand before God, and you know what he's not going to say to me? Mike, why weren't you more like Andy Stanley? Mike, why couldn't you preach more like T.D. Jakes? Can't nobody preach like T.D. Jakes. Mike, why can't you be more like John Maxwell? Or why weren't you as happy as Joel Osteen? And I love all of those men. I really do. I admire and respect all of them. I wish I could preach like T.D. Jakes. Ha! But I'm as pasty white as they get. Listen, I know it. I know it. I know what I'm made of. I'm not as smart as Andy Stanley. I can't preach it like him. He's so clever. I don't have the leadership. I'm not as capable as a John Maxwell. And, you know, I'm not as inspiring as a Joel Osteen. But guess what? God's not going to ask me, why weren't you more like them? He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Church, hear me. We've got to get comfortable in our own skin. We've got to settle some issues that we're not like anybody else. Look at that person that's sitting next to you. Just check them out. Just come on, look at them. I know it may be awkward. It may be weird. Hey, there's some smooching going on right here between husband and wife. Y'all, easy. Slow your roll. Back that down just a little bit. Now look at them. Check. Could you imagine that nose on your face? Or that hairstyle on your head? Can you imagine, that build being yours? I mean, doesn't God have an amazing sense of humor? He's created each one of us unique. We are different. Watch this. You are different to make a difference. And do you know what happens when we compare ourselves to others? You know what we're basically doing? We're insulting God. He put himself, you were created in the image of Almighty God. You weren't mass produced. You weren't pulled off of some factory belt. You weren't manufactured. You were custom built. And when you compare yourself to someone else and try to fight battles in their armor, you're basically saying, God, what you did when you created me, it wasn't good enough. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to say that. I know that God had a plan and a specific purpose for my life, something unique. He put gifts and talents and abilities inside of you. He shaped you and wired you in a way that is totally different than anyone else. And you deny, when you compare yourself to others, you deny your unique and God-given calling. The surest way to kill your dream is to try to live somebody else's dream. Don't live anybody else's dream but yours. Now listen, learn from everybody, but imitate nobody. Be inspired. Have mentors and teachers and coaches and those who challenge you. Be inspired by them. God anoints inspiration, but he doesn't anoint imitation. In fact, check this out. You want to lose your anointing? Here's how to do it. Saul becomes jealous over David. He was more concerned about his own reputation than he was his unique gifting and calling. Look at 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. Bible says this, when the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had just killed Goliath, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. And they sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. And this was their song. Y'all ready? You want me to sing this or you want me to read it? How many says sing, baby? Sing it. Hey, the other day I asked Rachel, I said, baby, listen, do you love it when I sing? She said, I love it when you preach. I said, no, baby, that wasn't what I asked for. Do you, when I sing, because sometimes I'll just break out in song because I'm weird that way. She said, baby, don't stop preaching. Here's the song that they sang. Saul. Saul, you've killed your thousands. But David, let me tell you, David. Hey, if I just had a B3 organ right now, look out, baby. We singing and bringing it, baby. I'm telling you, it would be powerful. Anybody getting blessed right now? Aren't you glad the Bible says make a joyful noise? Golly, it's brutal. I'm telling you. Saul has killed his thousands. But they sang, David, oh, let me tell you about David. David has killed his 10,000s. Listen to how the response. Verse 8, this made Saul very angry. What? What's this? They credit David with 10,000s and me with just mere thousands? Next! They'll be making him their king. What was Saul doing? Comparing. And the next verse says that Saul, from that moment on, Saul kept a jealous eye on everything that David did. Watched him. You see, here's the danger. When you compare, you take your eyes off of God and you set them on someone else. The song came on the radio. I'm sure it was a popular song. It was the number one hit song on the Hebrew pop charts. All the ladies are singing it. It probably had a catchy tune and a real nice beat. But something about the lyrics in that song just made Saul upset. When it got to that part about David killing tens of thousands and only crediting Saul with thousands, Saul probably told his men, hey, change the station. I don't like that song. You know what he was doing? He was comparing himself to David. Can I tell you, here's the progression. I want you to jot this down. Insecurity, it starts with insecurity. Insecurity breeds comparison. You with me? When you're insecure, you're going to look around at what everybody else is doing. See how many likes they got on Facebook, how many friends they got, how popular. Man, I don't have that many followers on Twitter. Start looking at everyone else. Man, how big is their church? It's like show and tell, isn't it? And insecurity breeds comparison. And comparison, watch this, it opens the floodgates for jealousy. Do you see how that works? Saul was eat up with jealousy. You see, David had character. Saul was concerned with his reputation. Do you know there's a difference between character and reputation? How many of you know the difference? You see, reputation is who you are when everyone's watching. Character is who you are when nobody's watching. You know what? Right now, there's a certain reputation that I have in front of you. But you know, my true test of character, you can ask my wife, ask my children, who you are in private, who you are when no one's watching. In fact, let me maybe paint the picture a little differently. How many of you, your parents, I made the mistake of saying, you know, in the first, how many of you, your parents have wallpaper at their house? A few. How many remember growing up with wallpaper? Okay, I lived in the trailers, okay, 13 years, trailer park. We had wallpaper in our trailer. Mama didn't like the wallpaper. She changed it out. You know what reputation is? Reputation is wallpaper. But you know what character is? It's not wallpaper. It's the wall. It's the strength behind it. David had character. Saul was more concerned with his reputation. He sees David and the exploits on the battlefield. He gets a little insecure. He starts to compare, and then jealousy consumes his life. Do you know what? Jealousy will shrink your life. Can I have a better amen? God, hey, don't be a slave to the small ideas of others. You need to live a life that's so large that you can pursue the fullness of God's dream for you. Don't try to fit your world into somebody else's experience. Live a life that's so big. Live the God-sized dream for you and not some man-sized idea of what you should be. Come on, are you catching this? He was jealous, and so he traded in the God plan for some idea of something that he could manage. Jealousy will shrink your life. It robs you of your anointing, and it makes you absolutely miserable. You see, when David went to the battlefield, not a single man believed that he could defeat Goliath. Not a single man. That when he stepped onto the battlefield, remember his brothers? His brothers said, "What are you doing here? Shouldn't you be back there tending those sheep? You just came here so you can spy on us and tell your stories. You don't belong here." I want to tell you, listen to me, church. God will call you to places that other men will say, "You don't belong there. What are you doing here? Who do you think you are coming here?" You see, David's brothers, they didn't believe in him. And then even Saul looked at him and said, "Man, you're only a boy. Are you kidding me? You're going to fight that? He's been a man of war since he was a youth. There's no way." David's brothers didn't believe in him. Saul didn't believe in him. Even Goliath. Whenever David stood face to face with Goliath, Goliath looked at him and says, "What, am I some dog that you come at me with sticks?" I tell you, not a single man on that battlefield believed in David except for God himself. Some of you feel like nobody believes in me. Nobody even knows where I am. Here I'm struggling to live this God life, and you may hear people come against you and criticize you and second guess you. But I want to tell you this. When you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, know this. God believes in you. God's thinking about you. I love that. 1 Samuel 17, look at this last verse. Nobody believed in David, verse 37. But David said this. "You know, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." You see, David had a personal experience with God himself. When you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you can step into your reality with confidence. Even when people don't believe in you. He said, "You know, I was tending my father's sheep, and one day a bear came out of the woods and tried to attack him, and I grabbed that bear by the nape of the neck, and I clubbed him to death. And let me tell you, there was a time when a lion came out and tried to scatter the flock, and you know what I did? I chased him down, and I beat that lion down. And listen, the Lord that delivered me from the hands of that bear, the Lord that delivered me from the lion is going to be the same God that will deliver me from that Philistine giant." Don't go wearing Saul's armor. Be yourself. Are you catching this today? Be yourself and let God be himself to you. Now, let me close. I'm going to ask the band to come up because I just feel like there's some people I need to pray for. And honestly, pray with, because this has been one of the biggest challenges for me personally, comparing myself to everyone else. Let me tell you this. Don't look to people for something that only God can give. Don't look to someone else for something that only God can give you. David charged that giant with a rock in his pocket and God in his heart. He was himself. Wasn't pretending to be anybody else. Wasn't pressured to be anybody else. Didn't have to live up to the expectations of anyone else. And God brought tremendous victory. All because a young man made a decision. I'm going to be myself. And guess what? When you know the freedom of being yourself, watch what God will do in you. Listen, David couldn't take any credit. When that giant hit the ground, that rock sailed and nailed him right between the eyes. And when that Goliath of a man, that 9-foot-tall giant, when his head hit the ground, there was no way in the world David could take any credit for that. He didn't have confidence in Saul's armor. He had total confidence in God. And I don't know, maybe you're here today, and the way that you're living life, it's just not working. Maybe you've spent, like me, maybe you've wrestled with the you that God's creating you to be. I just pray that today you'll step into new freedom. I pray that whatever bondage, whatever burden that you've been carrying, all of that comparison, looking around, today's a new day. God's saying, I love you. I created you. Your personality, your gift mix, the way that I made you is unique. You were born an original. Don't spend the rest of your life trying to be like somebody else. Do you receive that this morning? How many of you say, Mike, this was a word that I know I needed to hear? Awesome. Serve God where you are with what you have, and don't compare yourself to anyone. Be yourself.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.